Now, Proverbs chapter 14, we're not going to be long tonight. I'm going to encourage you, and I know we don't have enough of these, but our children, most all of our, by the way, discipleship, you can be dismissed if you haven't been dismissed yet. If you haven't left yet, discipleship can be dismissed. Our children, believe it or not, Sergio, how many of you children you have? Three. Okay. They're going to get married. Okay. They're going to get married. I want to just give us some real simple thoughts. I actually, a few years ago, I took 2 or 3 weeks on this same topic. I'm going to be real brief tonight, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to challenge the moms and dads to do your homework. You say, what do you mean do your homework? You don't just let our culture dictate how your children date, court. We like the word courtship, okay? By the way, I've been teaching courtship. In August, we'll have our 24th anniversary. I've been teaching courtship, and most people don't even know what it means. Sometimes I don't know if I know what it means, okay? But what happens before they get married determines much of what happens after they get married. So let's we're going to spend some time on this. Not a whole lot, but what I want to do, I want to challenge parents to do your homework and do some study. We got a book out there. Actually, I'll go over some. It's called 7 Courtship Secrets. It's a little book. It's, oh, I don't know. It's probably about 88 pages is what it is. And so just to help prepare your young people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 15. The Bible says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." But please think about this. I started learning about courtship before I got married, and I began to study courtship for my future children before I had children. You say, why? I have 8 children, and I want them to marry right. See all the little children coming up here? They're all going to get married someday. Right now, we're preparing them for who they marry, and get this, who they attract. See, what do you get? You get who you are. You don't get what you want, you get who you are. Proverbs chapter 19, if you would. Just a couple verses, and then we'll pray. Proverbs 19. Prudent man looketh well to his going. What? He looks in the future. Don't wait until your daughter comes home all wide-eyed and she's like, I'm in love. She's only 6 years old. Proverbs 19, verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. There's a certain type of wife that actually comes right from God. Hey, guys, that's the type of wife you want. You don't want her coming from the other one. Guy with a pitchfork and the horns. Okay, look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse number 3. Proverbs 22, verse 23. I'm sorry, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Father, help us as we have family emphasis and Christian education emphasis. And Lord, tonight we're going to be real simple, real practical. But God, you want us, especially as fathers and mothers, to have wisdom to coach our children so that they marry right. And it's so important that we don't wait until they're 15 or 16 to start thinking about it. It's time to think about it when they're in the nursery, they're 2 and 3. And Lord, help us to just glean a little bit from principles from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Does everybody have a handout? Anybody need a handout? Raise your hand if you need a handout. Okay, right over here, if we have ushers, James, you can take care of that. All right, let me jump right into this, okay? Please jot this down. I want you to get your pen out, jot a couple things down that aren't in your notes. Write this down, the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth has many principles for girls on how to attract the right husband. By the way, Ruth was loyal. She was diligent. She was humble. She knew how to reverence. She knew how to reverence. By the way, you're going to reverence your future husband, Ephesians 5:33, the way you reverence your dad. You say, well, he's not very reverenceable. Let me tell you this. Your husband's not going to be very reverenceable either. Okay? And she knew how to reverence. The greatest need in a wife is love. The greatest need in a husband is reverence. Okay? And we'll talk about that on Sunday nights. She was loyal. She was diligent. She was humble. She had reverence. She was grateful. She had a good name. She followed her authority, and she was not a flirt. Ruth, girl, study the book of Ruth. Study her character. And then write this down, Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham seeking to get a wife for his son. Also, of course, this is not a new chapter for us. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Genesis 24, actually, I taught from Genesis 24 one night, teaches several important principles about marriage and how to discover God's life partner for your children. And I'm not going to go and do it, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me say this. If you get nothing, get this. Don't just let your children, don't just let your children let their emotions run wild. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Ask God for help. We see that in Genesis 24. And then, let me say this, and the young people don't like this part, but that's okay. In helping your children, and by the way, we don't believe in arranged marriages. Come on, we're not like some third world country. But we do believe mom and dad have a lot of wisdom. Amen? Okay, and then, of course, never marry Canaanite. Look at number one. Parents need to seek the Lord's guidance before your children are born. I already said that. By the way, this isn't just if you say, I'm not a parent, I'm a single adult, my parents aren't even saved. Well, you listen too. Some of you need to get married. Come on now. Let's get married. I mean, unless you're, I've only met a couple people that are called to be single. Okay? Parents need to seek the Lord's guidance before your children are born. Look at the bullet there. Prudence is developing the mind of God in a certain area so you can see far down the road. Prudence is developing the mind of God in a certain area so you can see further down the road. The next bullet, we need fathers that are seers. Seers. Can everybody say seers? The Old Testament, some of the prophets, they'd say, here comes Samuel, here comes the seer. Say, who's a seer? A seer can see the decisions that we make, how it's going to affect us a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. That's what a seer is. We need some seers for fathers. We need some. I have a book. It's called The Danger of Change. And the premise of the book is this. There are a lot of wonderful Christians. There's a lot of godly Christians, but there are very few that see different changes that we make in our lives, in our churches, in our families, in our ministries, and how they're going to affect us further down the road. Look at number two. Biblical prudence is needed more in this day than ever before in this area of marriage and helping your children to get to the marriage altar right and the marry right. Prudence. And I know I sound like some archaic guy, but let me say this. I preached about this a few years ago. My nephew Ryan, he calls me preacher, and you know, instead of Uncle Joe, he calls me preacher. He said, "Hey preacher," he said, "I got something." He was applying for the police academy, and he said, "I want to give you," because I was talking about, listen, if your daughter. By the way, Cody and Crystal, they're going to have a daughter. They found out yesterday, right? Found out yesterday they're going to have a daughter, number two. And if your daughter, some guy shows up, and he's interested in your daughter, It's like, wow, he's, you know, and your wife says, oh, he's cute. Look, if you want someone cute, go get yourself a little puppy dog. Okay? No, cute isn't everything. Come on. Cute only goes so far. Well, he's cute. Now, look, here we are. And so some guy said, wow, he's tall, dark, and handsome. Well, that's a good start for some girl that, you know, maybe doesn't think too far down the line, I guess. But why would the police department have a higher standard in who they hire than we would as parents in who we let even court our daughter? Now, he dropped it off. He dropped off this background check, questionnaire. Brother, it's ruthless. I mean, they want to know how long your baby toenail is. It's unbelievable. They want to know everything. They want blood. And by the way, he didn't know this, but they were doing the background check on my nephew. My nephew, Ryan, lives right next door to me. They showed up at my house. They didn't know I was his uncle. They were just visiting the neighbor. Hi, how you doing? Fine. We just want to know, what do you know about Ryan? They didn't know who I was. They didn't know I knew a lot about Ryan. Now look, moms and dads, don't you think if the police department is doing a background check on their people that they're going to hire to arrest people and keep us protected, don't you think we ought to have a higher standard than the police department? Now look, it ain't going to happen after he's already won her heart and you're going, okay, well, you guys have been dating for 6 months. Let me do it. It's over. It's over. It's over. Okay? And so prudence, what is prudence? Prudence looking in the future. Prudence and say, listen, by the way, protected girls, we protect our girls around here. Some guy starts to throw a few sweet nothings in her ear. She's gone. She's gone. When protected girls that aren't flirting around and messing around with guys all the time, some guy comes up and starts doing her some sweet talking to her and shooting her sweet emails and some sweet texts, you know. And then okay, well, you know, don't go too far and don't, you know, let's keep a little check on this. And then he's already got her heart. It's too late. You know what you want to do? Before any guy gets involved with your daughter, you want to know who he is. And if he won't let you know who he is, he's the wrong guy. Okay? So look at the bullet there. A thorough background check should be done on any future spouse for your daughter before there's any involvement. Okay? This means before there's any relationship cultivated. Do not allow your daughter to get too friendly with any guy that you do not want to have to fight to pull them apart. By the way, you would be shocked to see what people are finding out about their spouses after they get married. After they get married. Guess what? It's too late. So, well, if I would have known this, by the way, it's none of this. Well, I didn't know everything about her, or I didn't know everything about him. It's too late. You're married. We make vows till death does us part. Okay? Look it on. Next bullet. It is very difficult to veto a relationship once it has been cultivated. I'll never forget, when I was in Bible college, there was a guy, Jeff Gerald. He was in love with this girl. His dad was a pastor. He came to college just to check the girl out. He met her. They went out to eat one time, and he said, Jeff, he had the ring. He was about to get engaged, but he wanted his dad's blessing. And his dad said, no. I'll never forget, Jeff Gerald preached a sermon and gave the testimony. But I'll tell you this, usually when they're that far, it's almost too late. Look at number three. I would strongly suggest every father and mother diligently study the difference in dating and courtship. We have just a few of these books. It's going to be on a table somewhere. Is it right there, Brother Ray, right behind you? Is that okay? However many books we have, they're $10 a piece. I think they're $10 a piece. 7 courtship secrets. I promise you, you read this, you'll learn a lot. Basically, you know what this is? It's making sure that the guy and the girl are prepared and their hearts are right. Their hearts are in tune with God. Their hearts are in tune with their parents. They have no hidden sin, but it helps them to prepare for courtship. Let me read this. One of the greatest tragedies in life is a son or daughter entering in a marriage with high hopes and dreams, only to have those hopes and dreams shattered after a few months or a few years of marriage. This disaster damages not only the couple, but also their children for generations to come. For far too long, we have guessed at reasons why this happens. This book explains those reasons and provides a revolutionary approach that will guarantee the success of a marriage by applying powerful biblical truths. And I'll just maybe highlight it. The secret of father's protection. Dad, protect your daughter's heart. Talks about it. Chapter 3. Chapter 5, the secret of marriage readiness. In other words, a man's personal walk with God, a man's financial responsibility. If a man doesn't know how to take care of his money, you say, well, does that disqualify him? No, what it means is he needs to be trained before he gets married. Now look, I have three daughters. If you're going to marry my daughter, I'm going to ask for a credit check. Oh, man, you're ruthless. I go rent an apartment, they ask for a credit check. I mean, I haven't rented an apartment in a long time, but, you know, and we were, oh, well, you know, I trust him. I hate to say this. Shh, I don't know if I trust myself. Okay? Man's financial responsibilities, the man's life message, the woman's ability to maintain three prerequisites. Here's one chapter, the secret of the parents' blessing. Girls, don't marry anybody without your parents' blessing. What is courtship? When is a fellow qualified? These are all covered in this little book. What if courtship doesn't work? What if only one parent objects? What if the parents are unsaved? These are all questions answered here. Is there only one ideal mate? Here's one. You have to rescue a girl from ungratefulness. Girls, do not get involved with a relationship if you have an ungrateful spirit. You'll never, ever, ever be happy in a marriage. Never. This thing, well, if I just get married, all my problems will go away. No, 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 no. If you get married and you have a bunch of inner turmoil in your soul and things aren't right, guess what? You just make all your problems much more complex, much more complicated. This talks about girls have to make sure that they're content in this book. Very good. Rescue her from deadly stresses. When a girl, I'm reading from the book here, when a girl violates her conscience, she will immediately experience guilt, just as Eve did. But then, like Eve, she will look for someone to blame. She may blame her parents, her upbringing, or her friends who claim to be Christians but are hypocrites. She may even blame God. This, please follow this. I'm just trying to say in this book, because I think it's very good for you. This guilt and blame will foster other deadly stresses such as bitterness, lust, greed, fear, and envy. These stresses will release a cascade of adrenaline and cortisol, excuse me, that will upset her hormonal balance and bring about disease symptoms. Medical tests will often be unable to find the physical cause because the symptoms are stress-induced. By the way, it all came from unconfessed sin or some turmoil in her soul. Instead of identifying and resolving the root cause of stress, doctors will usually prescribe a drug just covering up, not healing it, but just covering up the problem, a drug that is designed to manage the symptoms. However, the drug is often toxic. The body system is also toxic due to the stress. Thus, there's an immediate toxic overload. By the way, our country is way too medicated, way too medicated. The body system is also toxic due to stress. Thus, there's an immediate toxic overload, which is called a side effect of the drug. In order to remedy this new disease symptom, another drug is prescribed and the cycle repeats itself. At this point, the girl may be approached by a young man for marriage. He has no knowledge of the underlying stresses or the fears and lies that are controlling her life. This book also talks about lies that girls believe that make them very susceptible to get married easily, and they're not ready to get married, and then it's a mess in no time. If they are married in this condition, he will have to share her trust with her doctor and his assets with the hospital or another man if she gets divorced. It's a mess. Anyway, you might want to look up this book. Okay, next point, real fast. Number four, the key to a lifelong godly relationship is having the same core values. In 2 Corinthians, we're not going to turn there because of time tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that's the primary principle here. And there are several different applications. For what fellowship, okay, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know what he's saying? Righteousness and unrighteousness can't fellowship. You can't get along right. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord Almighty. What's the principle here? The principle here is you can't have unity, you can't have harmony in any relationship. Now, he's talking about the unbeliever and the believer, but if you do not have the same core values. You say, well, Pastor, what's the most important core value? The most important core value for a young man or a young lady in courtship is that they both love God with all their hearts. That's the most important. Girls, and by the way, Dad, be careful about who your girls, you know, who they follow in all these Hollywood and these musicians and all that. What they do, they begin to develop an appetite for the world. Look at the next point, number five, or the next bullet. The key word is direction. The word direction is the key, the bullet there. By the way, I mentioned this before. My daughter over here, she did some study on courtship. And she studied Hindus, she studied Muslims, and come to find out that many of these Muslims and Hindus have, and we understand, you have limits of peace that you can have if you don't know God, and if you're a Hindu, you don't know the real God, and if you're a Muslim, but often some of these Hindus and these Muslims, they have more unity and harmony in their marriage because before they ever, and by the way, some of these people, they get married, they have arranged marriages. But here's the key. They say the same thing. The key to their harmony in their marriage is they have the same core values. They have the same, they agree on the same things. And so we need to understand that that's very, very important. Look at number five. We must do all we can to protect our children from the damaging effects of compromise before marriage, especially during the courtship or dating process. And again, I want to encourage you to get this book. There's many books. You can go online. You can do your own little research. I like to give you things that I would recommend. But courtship or dating. The courtship, next bullet there, the courtship or dating process can potentially be the most cleansing, can everybody say cleansing? Time for the future marriage, or the most corrupting. James, can you come up here just a moment? Come on up here, James. You're always on the front row. You're the closest guy. That's why I always call on you. Let's say James is 23. Okay? And my daughter is 22. And he's been praying and seeking the Lord, and he's prayed with his parents, and his parents come to me, and you know, how are they to do it? You know, maybe you had some book that told you to do it a different way, or you had your parents tell you a different way, or you know, so you figured it out, okay? Or you had him come to me, or you came to me, whatever. And I told him to get lost. No, I'm just kidding. Please get this. Look. This time, and we say yes, and then we have our standards. Say, now look, okay, you're coming to us, and you're saying you want permission for me to win my daughter's heart. Is that what you're saying? Okay, you're way too young to date. How old are you? 12. And if I give him permission, this time, let's say it's going to be a year. Let's say it's going to be a year. By the way, don't have too long of courtships. Don't have too short of it either. Okay? And have it. Now, this period from the time he first talks to me, talks to his parents, he's praying, seeking the Lord, we get everybody on the same page, until the time that if they're going to get engaged, one of two things happen. I mean, many things can happen, but one of two big things can happen. Number one, this guy is really motivated to be clean if we do this right. I said to him, sit down, James. And I said, by the way, this is what I'll do. He said, your daughters might not ever get married. You're probably right. I'll say, look, James, you don't have to answer this, but one of the things I'm going to ask him, say, how's your thought life? I'll do something like this. Take my glasses off. Now, don't lie to me. I'm the pastor. Okay? And I'll say this. I'll say, look, there's very few things that can disqualify you if you have a heart for God and you're going the right direction. But I want to know what we're getting ourselves into. Have you ever been involved with pornography? By the way, men, don't be afraid to get that out there in the public. You say, well, no one will ever come to me. No, you won't attract the wrong type of guys for your daughter. If they're afraid to come to you because they know you're going to ask certain questions. By the way, let me say this, man. God can forgive you and cleanse your mind and your soul. Okay? Some of the purest minds and soul have been polluted, but they've worked so hard at cleaning their minds and their soul, now they're very clean. Now, this guy's going back home. He's going, do I really like this girl? What's her father going to put me through next? Or you know what he'll do? He says, guess what he does when he goes home that night? He gets on his knees and starts praying. He says, oh, God, I can't believe I've, you know, polluted my mind, and please forgive me, and then he comes back, and you know, here again, we're as a family, we're working this thing out. Do you know what can happen the next 12 months? This guy can have revival. This guy can listen. This can be the time. Let me say this, dads and moms, don't waste this time. Do you really say, oh man, that's manipulating? No, listen. We all are motivated by the fear of loss or the desire of gain. That's how God has created us. And right now, he has both going for him. He might lose her or he can gain her. And right now, he's real motivated. If I said jump, he's going to say how far. If I say run, he's going to say how fast. And by the way, I'm just trying to help the kid so that he'll love God and be a good husband and a good father someday. Say, what are you saying? Use this opportunity. Or if we sit back and be passive and go, well, honey, you know, to your wife, you take care of this. I'm not very romantic anyway. No. By the way, this should be, we said, oh, you shouldn't say this. All no guys want to marry any of our girls. No, you know what this ought to do? This ought to motivate our guys to be holy and pure and clean and expect before you go talk to some father, you better be walking with God or you're not going to mess with my daughter. Okay? That's a good culture to have in a church. Thanks, James. Or what else happens? You know what happens? We go aloof. You know, we ask them a couple general questions. This next statement I have in your outline, this is a statement of experience. Look at the next bullet. Mistrust is typically built before marriage, not after the marriage. Compromise, I don't know if this is in your notes, compromise and deceit are a position of life. Typically, if you are deceitful with your parents and peers, your spouse instinctively believes that you will be deceitful with them. Now, look here just a minute. If I'm not careful, by the way, there's a lot of temptations, you understand this, for guys and girls when they like each other. Right? Come on, don't give me that innocent look. If they compromise during that, please, I have to be careful here. If they compromise during that time, guess what happens? But I know what I'm talking about. They go into their marriage not trusting each other. And sometimes it's real extreme, sometimes it's not too extreme, but there's a lack of trust. You get a couple that keep their hands off of each other. They stay pure and clean and they do it right. And then they get married. They're going into that marriage on good grounds. Amen? By the way, let me throw that in. I've given this one occasionally. Age of dating. You start dating at 12. 91% of the time, you'll lose your purity before high school graduation. You start dating at 13, 56% of the time. You start dating at 14, 53% of the time. You start dating at 15, 40% of the time. You start dating at 16, 20% of the time. Number six, and we're done. In this day and age, you may need to disciple your children's future life partner. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You know what you might, hey, guys, hey, dads, you know what you might want to do? You go, man, by the way, there's nobody good enough for our daughters, amen? Nobody. If there is, there's something wrong. So you might want to be praying, and maybe God will give you a little, you know. And here again, we're not arranging marriages, but maybe there might be some good guy, and here again, let me say this too. You want to find someone that's walking with the Lord, if your daughter's interested in him. But what you might want to do, you say he's not there yet. You know what you do? Invest in him. Invest in him. You know what you can do, Dad? I mean, he'll let you. Why don't you disciple him? Why don't you help him? You say, well, I don't know if there's any man that's going to be good enough for my daughter. You know what you do? Why don't you help him to be good enough? Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.